So anyway, all right. Pastor Stephen, great to have you with us this morning. Please come and share the word. God bless you, mate.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. I'm very excited to be a son of God. That sounds funny, but I am very excited only because God the Father is, I have never seen, there is nobody like him, that God sees things afar off and he sees us and he just doesn't see us. He sees those that will come after us. And so if there's anybody who, there is no better planner than God. You know, there is no better planner than God. And so the reason I'm also excited to be a son of God is because I have an opportunity today to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, and this is Paul talking to the Corinthians. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." And so what he was basically saying to the Corinthians is that you have an opportunity to display the Christ-like character, where even though Christ had everything, he decided to become nothing so that you could become something. And so we have an opportunity today to be Christ-like in that with whatever God has given us and with whatever we've decided to do, we're going to give so that the kingdom of God is going to increase. And so that is why I'm happy to be a son of God. But even better, in 1999, I came to Australia and I went to a church called C3. It was called Clear Vision, you know. So we had a very clear vision of where we were going. We used to meet in a hall in, I forgot what the place was, it doesn't matter, but we used to meet in a hall, and every week the band used to come up, set up all the equipment, set out all the chairs, you know, so people would come early to do that. And then I left Adelaide in 2003, October 2003. And then a few years later, the church moved into its own building. Then in 2003, October, I went to Wollongong. And we attended a church called Lighthouse Church. Lighthouse had a building program because they decided that, you know what, we want to become like a dream center, so that other people that are underprivileged or people that don't know Christ are given an opportunity to get to know Christ and to live the life that God wants them to live. So there was a building program. I was a part of that. In 2006-07, I went to Alice Springs, attended Alice Springs Christian Community Center, now called Desert Song. They also had a building program. And their plan was that, you know what, we want to do things for our building because we want to get bigger and better and give people opportunity so that they can come to know the Lord. 2011, we left to go to Port Hedland. So we attended C3 Port Hedland. They too had a building program. They wanted to make an impact. And so what you find with C3 Port Hedland is at this stage, the building is expanded. You know, it's called a church on Sunday, but a community center all week. And so you've got different businesses coming in there, ballet, all this kind of stuff for families to bring their kids. They've also doing a playground. The whole emphasis is that, do they have any business running a playground? Not really. But they do it because that's the attraction, to get people comfortable to come into the church. And the sole purpose is so that they can do what? They can have an opportunity to interact and to get to know the Lord. So that when time passes all of us, which unfortunately it will one day, when this, we will all be a part of this. Revelation 7 verse 9 says, "After this I saw a vast crowd too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." So that this tells us that what we are doing today is so much bigger than us, is that it has the ramifications of impacting generations, impacting nations. Because you see, when God wants to do something with you and I, what he does is that he draws things out of us. You know, he draws, just like as he did, and I think I said this the last time I was here, is that when Abram was alone and God said, it's not good that man be alone, he put him to sleep, and then he drew the woman out of him. So if God wants to do anything in your life, he's going to draw something out of you. Our story, our future, is that God would draw people out of us. We all have got that capacity to be able to do that. I was raised by my parents, of course, and then I was raised by predominantly by my maternal grandmother. And when I grew up and left home, I had the opportunity to go visit her, and I'd fly into Botswana and then drive to Zimbabwe. I would be so happy to go to my grandmother's house. And when I would go there, there's three places in the world that I love. One is my own home in Botswana, my own house. The second place, well, the first place is my grandmother's house, because I would get this, there's no feeling like being in a place where you are loved, where you're not judged, where you are accepted. Second place is my own place in Botswana. Why? Because I built it, you know. And the third place is the house of God, because I can go anywhere in the world and I can fit in. Even though there'll be people that are weird looking, different from me, I know that they're still my brothers and sisters in the Lord, you know. And so I can walk here. There's not many people who look like me, which is a good thing. But we share something in common that God has done for us, is that we are all sons and daughters of God. And so I know immediately when I walk in that I am accepted, because everybody has the DNA of God. And so I would always go with my family. We went on many trips, we'd visit. I would go into my grandmother's house and I would look around. Okay, what needs fixing in this house? Okay, window thing, boom, I'm organized that. Oh, okay. They started building their house, but they hadn't finished it. It needed some a ceiling. Boom, okay, I'll do that. You know, so I spent my money and did that. It was not painful. And the reason it was not painful, because I loved my grandmother. And it made her proud. And just to hear, just to see her face when she would thank me and say, come on, you know, thank you very much, you know, for all that you do for me. What am I going to do without you? Blah, blah, blah. That gave me a desire to do more. And so my grandmother's late now. She passed away in 2018. And so when I reflect back and think, well, I mean, the good thing is that my grandfather's still there. But I say, why should I go there? Because the person I love is not there. It's not the house I care about. It's the person. And so she's no longer there. Her spirit, her presence is no longer there. So the church is a building, but it's the people that make it. It's the people that you miss, you know. And all my hard-earned money, you know, that I did all this stuff for, I don't miss the money. You know, I miss seeing how much joy it brought to her face whenever I would do something for her. And you see, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24, it says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them, and rust destroy them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. You need to understand that when this scripture was being explained to the people, cloths were a big deal. Fashion was a big deal. You put your wealth into your garments. You also had a time where, now the problem you see is that there are moths that eat the clothes. And so it was very relevant to the people of that time when he says, don't store up for yourself, you know, things that moths can come in and eat, which is your clothing. But he also said, you know, rust. In those times, tools were a big deal. So they used, obviously, iron tools to make things. And we know that iron rusts. So he's saying that if you store up everything that you have in these things, it's going to rust, and then you're going to be worse for wear. And understand that the houses at that time were made out of brick. Sorry, not out of brick like we have today, but out of clay and out of mud. So it was very easy for thieves to break in and steal. So they would punch through the walls, not a big deal, you know. And so he's saying that if you put your treasures in these things, you got to be very careful because these things will go away. If a thief comes in and steals, then you're finished and you've got nothing. But he says there is a spirit that says that, you know what, whilst I'm here on earth, I still am going to get stuff. That's not a problem, because the issue was not in getting the stuff. The issue was the focus that you had in the stuff, because that is why he then says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I have a prayer that I pray for one of my kids, and in it, it says that, you know, I pray, you know, and there's a saying in there, it says, what you focus on and you measure grows. So that means that if I put my emphasis into my money, in my shares, all I'm going to be doing is that I'm going to be so fixated on that I will not have time to focus on something else and things that are more important. And so the question we have is that, where is your treasure? Because you see, when I, by no means am I, I'm just telling you a story here that relates to this, is that it was not painful for me to do something for my grandparents' house, because I recognized what they did for me when I was growing up. And so because of that, now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying my father's out of the picture. It's just that it's a weird situation that I was raised by my grandparents, but my father was there in the background. But what I'm saying is that my mother wrote me a letter when I was in Malaysia. And she says, no matter what you do, don't forget to look after your grandparents. And so with a mandate from my mother, you know, my mother passed away in August 2000 when I was here in Australia at university. And I've always said, you know what, I'm going to keep doing that. Whatever I can, I'm going to make sure that these people have the best life they can, you know. So the question is, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure this morning? If you can reflect internally in your heart and say, oh my goodness, in relation to God, where is my treasure? Where is my focus when it comes to things that are important to me? You know, there's a treasure principle, because we know that treasure transforms. You know, giving is a deliberate act of obedience. In a book written by Randy Alcorn, it's called The Treasure Principle. It says, he describes giving as an act of worship. He says, as sure as the compass needle follows north, your heart will follow your treasure. You see, money changes the heart more than the heart decides how to handle money. And I guess what Christ is saying is that, look, it's not, you tend to put your money into things that matter to you, but the possessions you own will change you so that you care more about them than about other things. And that is the danger of treasures. So that is the question we're asking today, our story, our future. What are they going to say about us when there is that great crowd that was mentioned? It says, and I like the way the Bible is, he didn't say there was 1,000 people. And so they come up with all these words that there were too many to count, which says to me there were billions of people. You and I have been given that responsibility to be Christ-like, to take what we have and say, Lord, do something with what I have so that you would increase your kingdom. You see, the building, this building, is an access point. So if I guess they can get the kids ready, you know, to come in. This building is an access point. And like I said, you know, when I reflect to say, what happens? Why should I go to that house? Because, you know, the house had people in it, had a presence in it. And it was so inviting to go to that house. We are the house of God. But what we want to do is because of what God has done for us. And this is why you have to understand that scripture. Because if the only thing that I mentioned was that 2 Corinthians 8, 9, I could have just mentioned that scripture and said, come and do what you need to do and let's get out of here. That would have been enough. Because the words he uses in the New King James Version, he says, for you know, he's talking about the Corinthians here, says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we know what Christ has done for us. And what Paul is saying is that something needs to happen on the inside of you because of what God has done. And so the building is an access point so that the multitude, this place would be filled. We would not just have one service. We would have multiple services in Jesus' name, you know, because we know that there is a transformation that occurs when we come into relationship with God. Now, I'm not going to get anybody up to come and say all the stuff that you used to do before you came to know the Lord. We can save that for another day. But what I know is that your life was transformed the day you decided to make a decision to say, God, I want to follow you. That should stir excitement on the inside of us to say, you know what? I want to provide the opportunity so that this place is filled, it's buzzing. And the good thing about a buzzing sound is that life is happening. People are being transformed. People are being changed. Families are being restored. And that's what it's all about. Everything we do on a Sunday, none of you would love to come to this place if we didn't make sure that those cement floors were polished or that the rubbish was picked up in here. So we go to great lengths to make this as presentable as possible. The AV guys are here. The musicians are here. And it was all for that opportunity, for those moments that Pastor Nigel was talking about where people have an opportunity to give their lives to the Lord. That's why we do what we do. It's all geared towards allowing other people to have a moment to hear from the Lord. And so if I can get our wonderful worship team back up, as we bring this to a close, I'll give you a moment to grab your card. I'm going to find mine first. Oh, here it is. Ding! So everybody grab your card and get ready. My parents, my grandparents in 1988 were transferred to go to a border town between Zambia and Zimbabwe. It's a place called Chirundu. And they got there. My grandparents used to go to a church called Apostolic Faith Mission. And so when they got there, they realized there was no church. And so what they started to do was to start a church. And so they started a church that used to meet outside. And it used to meet at a police camp. And you got to understand that this was a national park area. You had elephants, buffalo, lions. But they would meet with people there. And eventually, you know, the numbers began to grow. And I had my first opportunity to just do a bit of testifying there. Nothing major. And so, whilst there, my grandfather noticed that the children were traveling afar off to go to school. And so he gathered the people of the town and said, guys, I think it's time for us to have a school here. And so they said, oh, come on, you old man. You just want to make money off us. And my grandfather said to them, look, guys, my children are too old to come to this school. You know, it's for the kids of this town. And so eventually they assented, they agreed, and they a school was started, my grandparents used, and together with others, their own savings, their own money, and built a classroom block together with other people. And these, my grandparents, were not rich people. Boom, they did that, and they built a classroom block. In 2015, we went back, and this, instead of the one classroom block, there were three. Now, in that 20 years, there were many children that would have come through that school. Countless, you know. Let's just say, for argument's sake, 100. You know, 100 kids had come through that school. The money that they gave would definitely have been worth it. And so what happened, you see, is that other people came along and decided to say, you know what, we see the vision here and we want to build, we want to do our part. They came in, they added on other blocks. And when we were there, what they also did say that next year, we are now building a high school block. And so not just primary school, but it was also going to be a high school. And so, and I remember speaking in that church to say, and this is why I say this thing, that God is the best planner. And I said to them, I recall when I was here 20 years ago, we would meet outside. You guys are so blessed that God saw you guys from afar off and he says, you know what, I want these guys to have a place where they can come and worship me. The funny thing was that in another classroom block, another church was meeting at the same time, you know. And so how good is God, you know. And so as we grab this card, you know, there's ways to give where, you know, you could give. This is a faith promise. So this is obviously above your normal tithes. And this is a faith promise where you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you that I'm going to give X amount. Whether you do it weekly, fortnightly, we would be very glad if you could, you know, set up direct debit. That's so much easier for you and for the church. And understand that we don't do this out of guilt, out of compulsion, out of being forced. We do it because, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. In all the time that I've gone to all those churches, I did all that I did. Yet at the same time, there was a desire on the inside of me to say, I want to buy my own house. I want to do my own thing. Yet I did this in spite of not having my own place. Because you see, there is something that happens when you trust God. And I can say from the bottom of my heart, even on behalf of my wife as well, that God has never failed me. There are times I felt like he's failed me, but he really has never failed me. And this is our opportunity to put our trust in the Lord and say, God, I'm trusting you that with this amount that I'm going to give, regardless of the quantum, I'll do it in faith. You know, and so we're just going to invite the kids. If everybody could stand and the band could start playing the I Surrender song. And I'll get the kids to come first and they're going to give their faith promises. And please, put your hands together for the kids as they come along. Well done, kids. Thank you. That's good. Come on, keep clapping for the kids. Well done. And so, what I'm going to ask is that we all come with what we've written down and promised. We're all going to come to the front. Come at your own leisure. Don't trip over each other, you know. And well done, young man, you know. And we're all going to do this. And what I want to say is that as you take the step to come here, what I am believing for is the power of relationships over your life. That whatever you want to happen in your life, that God, through in Jesus' name, will do it for you. That as you take the step to come to the front, whatever it is that you're asking for, whatever it is that you need, that I pray that you would experience the power of relationship and that you, that God would bless the things that you want to do. So come on, as the band plays, let's give this morning.